Cool. We're going to do this thing. Amen. Amen. If the sound bothers you, just put up your hand and go like, I need prayer or something. We'll pray for you. Let's just pray again. Let's just pray again. We're going to, Father, this morning as we look at your word, we ask, let your kingdom come, let your will be done in our lives. We welcome you, Lord. We welcome your Holy Spirit to come and mold us and shape us, work in our hearts, and form us into the image of Christ. That's a real baby. That's a real baby. Amen. So just as we go into the Word, I felt specifically that we're going to look this morning at Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I don't have a title for the preach, except for Psalm 100. But I want to encourage us this morning that as we bring ourselves before the Lord, I don't want to ask a question. What are you here for? Okay, you can answer now. That was a bit slow, eh? I didn't land that question well. So I want to ask you guys, what are you here for? Anyone? We want to take part in the word this morning. Fellowship, Dina. I just renamed you slightly. What are you? I say Dino. No, not Dino. Dina. Dina. For spiritual. Sorry, guys. Yeah. For spiritual effect. Just for spiritually fit. Okay, everyone? Gathering of the saints. Iman, diso, waarvoor is waarvoor? For worship, that's good. Thanks, Michael. I love you too. Yes? Yo, oh my goodness. The inheritance that's found among the saints. That's a real scripture. He actually just quoted. Solid. So let's just... Actually, why I'm asking us is that we just come and say, Lord, it is a problem sometimes. It's a problem if it's a problem. You guys understand the problems we have in our lives. It's a problem if what we're expecting is not necessarily what the Lord wants to do. So let's just go like, thank you, Lord, for fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for inheritance. Thank you, Lord, for... that we can be fed. Thank you, Lord, for all these things, but do what you want to do this morning. Yes, can we say that? Amen? Do what you want to do, Lord, this morning. And I felt like the Lord is just stirring in our hearts to really come and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. And we're going to come to the heart this morning, but the Holy Spirit is the one who's gonna do this thing, eh? Who can change us? Sometimes we want our leaders to change us. Sometimes as leaders, we want to change Hey? People who are parents know what I'm talking about. You want to change your child. You want to make him listen. It doesn't work like that. Hey, Logan? Fist bump. It doesn't work like that. But we train them up in the ways that they should go so that when they're old, they will not depart from it. We had a long time when they're old. But so the Holy Spirit is working on us. And I felt there's a couple of things that just the Lord wanted to stir in our hearts just regarding the work of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus reminds us and encourages us that it is better that I go so that I can leave with you the Holy Spirit. And he will be your comforter. He will be your helper. He will be your teacher. And he will lead you in. Yes, so we see these things, the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not the work of the mother. It is the work of the mother as well to help and teach and admonish and comfort, but the Holy Spirit is the one who really does it in our hearts. And let's just say, Holy Spirit, let's just say, Holy Spirit, teach me this morning. Lead me this morning into all truth. And then in Galatians, very, very, very well-known piece of scripture, Galatians 5, we see the fruit of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. No? And we see, the first things we say is love. Deneo? Joy? Your name is Deneo. The Lord calls you by your name. Deneo. Love, we see joy, we see peace. And then we see a bunch of others. We see patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, and gentleness. And we see the fruit of the Spirit, and there's this fruit of the working of the indwelling Holy Spirit within us. And I love those first three because it just takes everything together, because it feels like if we're loving, patience, and those things kind of flows out of that. But and then, so I just want to run through just a few reminders this morning before we get to Psalm 100. And the next thing that, I felt that the Lord pointed out is Romans 14, verse 17. Beautiful piece of passage where Paul talks about the kingdom of God and that we shouldn't make our brothers stumble because of we want to eat meat so much. Now, Eugene and I like eating meat, but some of us like salad more. Hey, is any salad people here? Hey, we got a salad guy? Salad? Hey, what I prefer is meat and salad. Hey? Meat and salad together. That crunchiness of the salad. It just... And the Lord made it so good. Anyway, but Paul says the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So it's just that the Holy Spirit is a lot. He's the one who comforts us, who helps us, who teaches us. He's the one who brings the kingdom of God in our lives. He bears fruit of love, joy, and peace. We cannot go without this, without the Holy Spirit. So it's just this reminder this morning to stir in our hearts, just a reminder to draw near to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to come and do what only He can do. He's the only one who can make righteousness a reality after the purchased work of the cross. So let's turn to page. Let me see what page it is. Hold on. I can do this. In your Bible, turn to page 500. When I was younger, I actually asked my dad, "What's the blood is it?" Ek kon nie lekker want weet jy's nog klein. No, I'm joking. Psalm 100. We're going to read through Psalms 100 and just say, "Lord, just come and stir in my heart something of your heart." Now, Psalms 100 is a beautiful passage about thanksgiving, about praise, about worship. Who of you guys like Psalm 100? We've got, it's like I've been a favorite for me for many years, specifically Psalm verse 4 talking about entering his gates with thanksgiving, entering his courts with praise. It was like, come on, oh my goodness. Yes, like that's the key to coming to the Lord, if you like ever wonder. So I always had this encouragement to myself. If I'm feeling far from the Lord, I just go like, thanksgiving. It unlocks the gate and I go in. Praise, it unlocks the courts and I go in. And it was just this, like, yes, thank you, Jesus. Who thinks like that? We've got three people thinking like that. Hallelujah. Getting there? We're getting there. Isaiah. So let's read Psalm 100. See, if you look at the psalm, you will see 1 and 2 talks about the things, what the psalmist says, what we're going to do. And he says, how are we going to do it? He says, we're going to shout with joy. Okay? Verse 2, we say we're going to worship the Lord with gladness. The first thing, he says, we're going to come before Him with singing, with joy. So we're going to do stuff, and he says, how are we going to do it? Next verse in the psalm, verse 3, talks about acknowledging or knowing. It's the word there is to know. So to know, say to know. To know that I know. Who've heard that saying? Sometimes we need to remind ourselves, we need to know that we know. Because if the enemy comes and he says, did he really say? We go, no. I know that I know. I know that I know. So I know that the Lord is God. And we're going to come to this verse quite a bit today. We see three things here, that the Lord is God. He made us. And we are his. And the third thing we see there, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We know these. So he says, okay, now I know these things. And then the psalm progresses to the next verse. Let's go to verse 4. And it says, now you know what to do. Remember, we're going to sing and shout and with joy and happiness, da da da. And we know these things. And then progress to the next verse. And it says, now enter his gates with thanksgiving. We're building on these truths. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to his to him and praise his name. Now, who of you guys know that when you read the Bible in English, it's English? Okay, that's good. Who of you guys know that when the Bible was written, it wasn't written in English? It was written, okay, there's some guys that, like. It was written in what language? Hebrew? Wynand was brewing there at the back now, but Hebrew. So when we read words like thanksgiving or praise in English, it's praise and thanksgiving. But if you look at the Hebrew words, there was actually seven Hebrew words. So I'm just going to quickly, just to help us put this verse together. So what we see there in verse 4 is as we enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now the word there is tauda. Tauda. And the word tada means thanks, but it means also confession. It means sacrifice of praise for and a thanksgiving for things not yet. Okay, so we see this progression. Firstly, we come with a sacrifice of praise, a confession. Maybe you've got sin to confess. Good time to start there. Bring a sacrifice. I'm not feeling it, but I'm going to bring it anyway. And for things not yet. So I'm not coming to the Lord because I'm happy or excited. I'm coming as bringing my sacrifice. I'm bringing for things I'm not seeing. So the Lord is starting. So the psalmist is stirring in your heart. And then it goes to the next verse and it says, go into his courts with praise. And the word there is tehillah. The same word that we love to quote is when we say, and the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22. It says he inhabits the tehillah. Now what does tehillah mean? Now we just read praise. But say again. It means to celebrate, but it also means it's the unrehearsed. The unrehearsed praise of my people. So it's not the song that someone wrote off the screen, but the song that the son and the daughter sang spontaneously from his heart. So God inhabits those praises. You can sing all you want because it's on the paper. But remember, we want to stir our hearts. We want to bring our hearts into the picture. And maybe this is a good time to say, what we want to do this morning is we want to look at our hearts. So as I was prepping, one of the things that the Lord encouraged me, said, Donovan. Well, I didn't hear my name, but that felt good now for a moment. Netanyahu. Yes, Donovan. Yes. Donovan. I felt the Lord said, I mustn't confuse the condition of my heart with the season I'm in. I mustn't confuse the condition of my heart with the season I'm in. Because the condition of my heart determines the way I respond and how I react towards the season that I'm in. How I respond towards the circumstances I'm in. It determines how I respond toward my wife, my three children, my work challenges, good, bad, triumphs, battles. The condition of my heart determines how I will respond to the Lord. If my heart is going like, yes, Lord, anything, then the Lord can go anything. But if I say like, yes, Lord, but only Wednesday night. If I only say yes to the Lord for Sunday mornings and maybe Wednesday night, then the rest of the time it's my life, okay? So the Lord says, no, let's not confuse the condition of our heart for what's happening. And so, in other words, let's bring our hearts and say, Lord, I love Galatians 5. After the fruit of the Spirit, we see verse 24. And Paul writes there that those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Now, where's our passions and our desires? It's in our hearts. We've got thoughts and intentions in our hearts. So let's just bring our intentions. So he says so what we want to do, let's go back to Psalm 100 verse 4, where he says we want to enter his courts with the tehillah, the spontaneous that comes from our hearts, not just the songs on the screen. So first we say the thanksgiving, we bring the sacrifice. I don't even know what it's for yet, but I'm doing it because he's worthy. Second thing is we're allowing our hearts to burst forth. Fourth thing is we say we give thanks to him. Now the word thanks to him there, thanks is baie dankie, dankie het was lekker. Nee, it's not that type of thanks. It's not like dankie vir die kos of yes, it was nice van jou nie. The word thanks there is the Hebrew word yada, and it actually talks about reverence. So first we just come because, not because we want. Secondly, we bring our hearts. Thirdly, we bring reverence. We bring worship. We give reverence. It's not a I get feeling goosebumps. Okay, now Francois is doing an amazing job in the worship. Now I'm going to start taking part. No. I give reverence and I give worship. And the next step is, and I praise his name. And the word there in Hebrew is barak. Now all Hebrew words had little pictures. Because back in the day, they didn't have words. So they would start with pictures, remember? In the caves? Now I'm not talking about human origins. Kamstig is Adam and Eva ondergeboren. That's not true, by the way. But there was this pictures, and the picture for this word in Hebrew was to kneel the heart. So there's this beautiful progression of the psalmist. He takes us from a place we give just come, bring your sacrifice, to bringing our hearts in spontaneous, to actually starting to give reverence and worship because it's worthy, to kneeling our hearts in surrender, and just taking us into the courts, taking us in boldly before the throne of grace. And then in verse 5 we see three things. For the Lord, let's read that together. For the Lord is, his unfailing love continues forever. And the third thing is his faithfulness continues to each generation. Faithfulness to all generations. So I want to remind us, as we look now at verse 3 and verse 5 specifically, I felt the Lord wants to help us just see how worship and our hearts really is determined by understanding three things, very important things. Ah, my Afrikaans, my English, maybe gefailed though. Did you guys hear that? What sentence was messy. I felt the Holy Spirit wants us to look at three very important truths. The first thing, verse 3 says, the Lord is God. Okay? The Lord is God. Say, he is God. Second one is, we are his. And the third one is, we are his people. And just standing here for a moment, going like, he is God. He is the only God. Changes everything. Because now he's almighty. He's sovereign. He's holy. He's worthy. I'm not, by the way. So now we go, yeah, and we say, we are his. And then we come to the third one and we say, we are his people. And what do you guys see in that scripture when you read it? We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Does anyone see anything there that we haven't said now yet? little revelation. No pressure. No pressure. No pressure, Danaya. We said we belong to him. This was the second point. Something else. Something a little bit more. Something a little bit. He's our shepherd. Yeah. Carry his name. Ruan. We are part of his group. See, he's part of a group, so that's why he groups it. The gang, the guys. So what I like about this verse is, as I was meditating, I felt that the Lord is pointing something very specific out here. Is in the third line that we are his people. So we read in Peter as well, we see that we are a people, a priesthood, a people, part of his pasture. And I feel the Holy Spirit just want to remind us and stir in our hearts the importance of being belonging not only to him, but also belonging to one another. One another. And we're becoming part of this thing called his bride, his church, his people, a people. And how does that impact our worship? Incredibly. Do you know? Was that a, like, you want to say something? Just like, yeah, I got that. Incredibly. So let's quickly parallel verse 5 with these three things. The first thing we see in verse 5 is we see that the Lord is. So the Lord is good and he is God. Second one we see, remember verse 3 was, we are his and his love endures forever. What did his love do for you and me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He sent his son to die on a cross. We see in 1 Peter that he bought us with his precious blood, not with silver, not with gold, not with the blood of goats or anything, but he bought us. And with that precious blood I am bought. I am now his. Who am I? Whose am I? Whose am I? Is that the right phrase? Whose am I? Daniel? I'm his. But whose am I also? Yours. I like it. Who said that? Yours. I'm his and I'm yours. You are his and you are mine. You are his and we are one. We belong. There's a belonging here. And what do we see in the last phrase, verse 5, is there, and his faithfulness. We see his faithfulness. Say faithfulness. Just let the juices flow. Say all that. Let the juices flow. His faithfulness continues to each generation. I prefer some of the other translations which say generation to generation. It's like, okay, no verstaaning wat jy bedoel. Kijk, for Afrikaans. So it just keeps on going. And it's just this beautiful thing of generation to generation. And I felt like specifically, I shared in the first meeting as well, is the Lord wants to encourage some of us that the work, the participation, the work, the sacrifice of being part of God's people is for the generation to generation to generation. And there's parents here, there's grandparents here. I'm only a parent, like I'm only a parent, but I don't have grandkids yet, and I'm already starting to see, like, oh my goodness, my life is not about me anymore. It's to see these boys walking the will of the Lord. See these boys loving the Lord. See them just finding the Lord even for themselves. Real relationships, real things. And I felt actually, though, the Spirit want to encourage each one of us today that it's not just about your physical children, but your spiritual family, your spiritual children, and the impact and the blessing, the participation, the sacrifice, the giving of you is important and is super crucial. As you give to younger people, to your brother, to your sister, you have no idea. You have absolutely no idea the impact you have. You have no idea. Did you think your kids are going to lead congregations, churches, when you were reading Bible and praying for them? No. No. We don't. We don't know what the Lord wants to do, but let's keep giving. Let's keep giving ourselves for our children and for our brothers and our sisters. Because again, then and then, I was like, on Saturday morning, I walked into the merchant, and there's a guy there. He's sitting there, and I kind of picked up coffee. And he, many years ago, I was asked to go help minister at a church camp. And on the Sunday after the camp, he came to me. He was just like, he was actually a little bit emotional, and like, he said to me, he's like old, it's like my dad's age. He's like, thank you so much for giving up your weekend to come minister to our kids. And it's now 17 years later, and he's sitting in my coffee shop. He stops by the merchant to support my business now in memory of that week, Kent. And I just like, how weird is that? And how amazing is that? It just keeps on. And I felt like the Lord just want to open up our vision, lift it a bit higher to see the kingdom of God, of righteousness, peace, joy, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, just flowing through our lives as we give our lives, because we not only belong to Him, but we belong to one another. And that's beautiful. Now suddenly my whole life makes sense. Everything I do suddenly makes sense, because I don't know. I have to ask my pastor, what's my calling? I have a calling. Because I belong to Him. I belong to one. I've got a bunch. Actually, too many people. I've got so many people to give my life for. To every day of my life. I've got children. I've got people at work. I've got the lost. We need to get these guys saved. This is what we got. We actually, every day, we've got a massive calling just to love, just to give our lives. Because we belong to one another, and we've been bought with this beautiful price, the blood of Jesus, His love that brings us into eternity. And I want to come back to the first thing, that He is God. Amen? Who said that? It's a nice amen. Huh? Debs? Yes, He is God. Yo, there's anointing there, eh? Oh my goodness. And He is God, and He is good. And I felt, I shared it this morning as well, that something about this that the Lord wants to highlight, just specifically, is that the goodness of God mustn't be confused with the blessings He gives us. The fact that God is good means that everything He does is good. Everything. Everything He says is good. Now, we are not allowed to say, because Jesus did certain things, we can do it. But I want to quickly just share an example. Don't practice this example on your wife. I'm talking to myself. So when Jesus, who did He speak to? Peter. Like, Peter was like, Jesus, you're not going to go die. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Now, that's kind of rude. But the Lord sometimes have to just put us in our place. So I'm just want to reaffirm, don't say Jesus said that, I'm going to practice on my wife. Nah, Henry's like so nice, man. Like, I don't have to preach to Henry. But some of us are a little bit more passionate. Hey, the Italians and the Scots amongst us. Hallelujah. Okay. The Lord is God, and He is good. Everything He does is good. And what that means is sometimes He's going to lead you, like He did with the disciples, into the storm when He thought they're almost going to die in the boat. You guys know that the Lord and the Spirit led them on the boat, and they thought they're going to die, and they woke up Jesus there. The Lord is going to lead you into a storm. Who's saying amen now? Hallelujah. Come on. Lead me, Lord. And we're in the storm, and we're like, lead me out, Lord. We're like, wake up, Lord, are you sleeping? And the Lord says, oh, you faithless. What did I say? Oh, you have little faith. I love the Lord. Eh? Like, it's so funny. It's like He did it on purpose. Né? He went to sleep. He knew what's going to happen. And then gaan vang hy gou slaapie. And the cake, just to like see what are they going to do. So the Lord is so good. He leads you into a storm. He leads you into situations which needs long suffering. That word, it's a vrug van die geest, guys. It's the fruit of the Spirit, long suffering. It's like That word in itself tells you you're going to suffer and it's going to be long. Amen. Come on. Unto unity. I'm going to suffer and it's going to be long. Hallelujah. Just on that topic, I think I'm still like in the middle of my life. I'm about 40% through my life now. I did the calculation. We had work. We did this thing and we were like calculating how old we're going to be. But anyway, so I'm here and I just want to... Maybe someone of us needs to hear this, but this is important, that our life here on earth is a bit of a suffering. It is a bit of a suffering. It's not, we're only when we, on that glorious day, we're going to be perfected, and then we're going to be transformed fully into the image of Christ. But till that day, we need to hold on, Buti, hold on. We need to hold on. So that on that day, so just want to encourage us, let's not give up. I actually almost gave up last year. So I want to land with this story before we, then we're going to go into some worship, and we're going to just respond to the Lord, worship a bit together, repent lekker. Who's ready to repent? Woo! Woo! Lay down our burdens, our sins, our sorrows. Yes. Who wants to carry burdens? Baggage. Who likes baggage? None of us like baggage. But for some reason, we sometimes we easy to identify baggage by other people, eh? I'm on a diet problem, and yes, I took an issue with that and that, and it's like, but for some reason, when it comes to ourselves, this is a joke, but we tend to go into the longest river in Africa, the Nile. Francis' favorite joke. When we look at our own lives, we just go like, no man, I'm fine. So I want to say something. When before I got married, I was very close to being perfect. And I honestly thought so. Melissa was like, you need to clarify that. You need to clarify that. So this is a true story. I actually thought I was so amazing. John, now you can understand me much better. John wrestled me a couple of times. So, well, I wrestled you rather, hey. John's not commenting now. The first thing where it's going is smart. This is the engineer. I want to be more like that, where you like think a little bit more before you talk. So I thought it was amazing. I actually thought I was so amazing that I was close to the Enoch status. You guys know Enoch? He was taken. Oh, guys, come on. I thought the Lord is going to take me away and go like, Donovan, it's better to have you here. I thought so. When people talked about death, I actually thought, no, man, I'm going to go. Going to go up. So I was really, I was feeling amazing. And I got married. I realized I got some mistakes. It dropped quite a bit. I got children. I realized I got some more mistakes. And about 3 years ago, being very busy. Now you're busy. You're married. You're working hard. You've got kids. You try to get them out of the house in the morning, fed and dressed appropriately to reach the school looking relatively fine. You work and you church and you do common, you do worship, and you're just busy. And in the process, what I actually did is I didn't tend to the garden of my heart. I didn't spend time focusing on the condition of my heart, going like, Lord, just for me. I was constantly busy, like, oh, I'm excited about this and that. I was out here busy with the things of the Lord, and my wife started to be neglected. My kids were neglected. They were a bit like nervous, and I would get overreacting in too many situations, and I actually burned out and crashed about 2-3 years ago. Then Monet tried to help me, and because I felt I was so amazing, which is the sin of pride, you don't receive the help so lekker. So like the Holy Spirit wants to help us. Monet wants to help us. Henry wants to help me. John wants to. Eugene wants to help me. People want to. Well, I can't receive it because I'm thinking I'm amazing. Huh? Like a lach. It's like, I thought it was amazing. And the Lord had to take all of my goeders out. And it fell apart. And I was like, goof. And I realized that the Lord is God. And He is good. And I'm not. And it totally, totally took all the pressure of trying to be amazing. It took the pressure off of trying to impress people. Of trying to have the right answers. It's so freeing. You know, I don't have to try to be amazing anymore. I don't have to try to be good. Because I am not good. Even my best works, like filthy rags before the Lord. And that's fine. Because the Lord is good. He's not asking you to be amazing. He's not even asking you to be loving. He gives you the Holy Spirit. And He says the work of the Holy Spirit will be love. The work of the Lord will be peace. The work, the fruit, and the kingdom through you will be righteousness, peace, and the joy in the Holy Ghost. Don't pray for patience. You know what's going to happen. Let's just, and I feel the Lord is inviting us in. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts. Come in. Don't stand there and try to be amazing. Come, just come in. And I will work in you, and I will work through you. And I will bless people, the body of the church. I will bless through you generations to generations. That's what I will do, says the Lord. I will do that. And you will see your children being a blessing, and their children.